I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, let it go, it's over. Let it go, it's over. God wants you to have complete victory over some things in your life, but you must first let it go. God does not want you to keep circling and revisiting the same situations, the same problems, the same heartaches over and over and over again. So if you would indulge me for a moment, turn to your neighbor and say, let it go. It's over. Before we examine our scripture text, I want to make sure that we are all on the same page. So let me give you a synopsis of the events that occurred previously to our scripture text. The Hebrews had moved from the land of Canaan into Egypt when Joseph was vizier of Egypt. After the death of Joseph, the Hebrews spent another 400 years growing and multiplying to over 2 million strong. At the end of these 400 years, a new king arose in Egypt who did not know Joseph. He enslaved the Hebrews and compelled them to perform intensive manual labor. The Hebrews remained in Egypt for 30 more years under these conditions. These tasks, particularly brickmaking, were extremely rigorous and the working conditions were hard, harsh, and oppressive. Moses, who was in exile from Egypt, for murdering an Egyptian while defending a Hebrew slave, received a call from God to free the Hebrew people from Egypt. Returning to Egypt, he attempted to negotiate with Pharaoh, who was not receptive, saying he didn't know Moses is God. Moses, under God's instruction, called forth a series of 10 plagues. The Pharaoh, enduring most of those plagues, still would not let the Hebrews go. However, a final plague, in which the firstborn son of the Egyptians were taken, made Pharaoh agree to free the Hebrews under Moses. And this is where the Exodus begins. The Exodus is considered to be the departure and emancipation of the Israelites or Hebrew slaves from Egypt. You see, God was ready to complete this cycle of Egyptian bondage for the children of Israel. He was ready to take them to the next level. God was ready for the Israelites to experience the good life. He heard the cry of his children. And our great and awesome God made a way of escape for them. After they spent hundreds of years in slavery, they were awakened by hope through Moses that the God that had been the God of their forefathers was still their God, and he had not forgotten them. If God didn't forget about the children of Israel, I can assure you that God has not forgotten about you. I know some may have been praying for healing, and healing has not come. Some have been praying for deliverance, and deliverance has not come. Some may stand in a need of a miracle, and the miracle has not come. But how many of you know that our timing is not God's timing? Yes, I know we all go through periods of doubt and confusion, as did the Israelites. But God says that He will not forget you because He has engraved you upon the palm of His hands. So, my brothers and my sisters, I want to encourage you this morning to lift up your head, to know that God has not forgotten you. Whatever your need is, whatever the cry is, hallelujah, God has heard your cry. For the Lord our God says, "Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." That right there deserves a praise. God has not forgotten you. I need somebody to just shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God has not forgotten about you. Hallelujah. And I know you're probably wondering, how is she going to put all of this Old Testament stuff and make it relevant to what I'm going through today? I know it's going through your mind. But as we venture to our text, it tells us in verse 5, that Pharaoh changed his mind and began to pursue the Israelites. And as Pharaoh approached them, the Israelites looked up and they saw the Egyptian army marching after them. They were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. They had gone out boldly, for circumstances have been in their favor. But now they are in danger, a deadly opposition, and they have become afraid. Instead of putting their trust in God, who made a way of escape for them, they were quick to panic and they wanted to go back into the very thing that God was liberating them from. They said, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." You see, the Israelites just couldn't understand that God was trying to complete their many years of slavery, and all they had to do was let Pharaoh and Egypt go. Now, let me take this word Pharaoh. Let's look at this word. Metaphorically speaking, Pharaoh is a domineering institution and or individual that keeps you from getting ahead. Pharaoh is that someone or that something that keeps you holding on to that very thing God is trying to liberate you from. Some of you are holding on to some pharaohs and you need to let it go.
Amen.
Now let me make this thing live for you. Here is a true story that happened over in Europe. USA Today reports that a particular mansion had caught on fire. The family was rescued by rescue workers before the inferno destroyed the house. As soon as the family was rescued, sadly to say, the wife noticed as she was coughing from the smoke that she had left something inside. So she bolted from the rescue worker right back into the house that was ablaze with fire. She goes back in the house, and unfortunately, the house eventually collapsed on her. When they found her dead body several hours later, they noticed that she was clutching a diamond-studded platinum chain. She had gone back into the fire to get a diamond-studded platinum chain and lost her life. You see, her Pharaoh was that diamond-studded platinum chain. The woman went back into what she had just been delivered from because of what she could not let go. Holding on to Pharaoh will cause you to lose your sanity. Holding on to Pharaoh will cause you to miss your deliverance. It will cause you to lose your life. I'm trying to help somebody somewhere this morning. You cried out to the Lord to liberate you from some things. And then when the Lord stepped in to complete that situation in your life, you began to do as the Israelites did. You began to walk by sight instead of walking by faith. And you allowed your circumstances to dictate your destiny. I know God delivered you from that bad relationship. He has given you a way of escape. But because you don't want to be by yourself, or you feel that you can't handle the financial responsibility alone, instead of trusting God, you'd rather go back into that very thing that God has delivered you from. Think about something that God has delivered you from and you're still trying to go back. This old boyfriend that did you no good. This old girlfriend that did you no good. They're trying to come back and say, oh, baby, I changed. Baby, God delivered you from that situation. Let it go. It's over. Don't go back into it. Whatever the situation is, you all know your own personal situations. But God is here to deliver you. God is saying, let it go. It's over. Don't revisit it. I can do bad all by myself. I'd rather put my trust in God. For the word of the Lord says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So the Bible lets us know we will have heartache. We will have heartbreak. We will have problems. But the good news is the Lord will deliver us out of them all. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I love to say what my bishop said when I was a little girl. He would say, so tell weeping, don't pack an overnight bag, because joy is coming in the morning. I refuse to let my circumstances dictate my destiny. For the Bible gives us the word, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody just shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! You might be saying, I'm almost through. You might be saying, I know it's over, but how do I let it go? How do I let go of the very thing that God is delivering me from? Well, Moses gives us the key in verses 13 and 14. For he says, fear not. Proverbs 29 and 25 tells us that the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso put his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Believe it or not, fear is a byproduct of pride. You see, pride puffs you up and makes you believe that you're controlling the situation, that you've got all things handled, that you're the one orchestrating and you're the one moving and making things happen. And then when things begin to fall apart, things that you didn't anticipate, you lose your control over a situation, you become afraid. What you should have realized is that God is in control. You have not been in command. The Lord has been in command. So your fear is just a negative display of your pride. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. So we are instructed not to fear, but to seek God. So the first thing you need to do to let it go is not to fear, but you need to seek God. Then Moses says, stand still and see. You see, Moses is telling the children of Israel that the Lord will work on their behalf. So I'm telling you today that the Lord will work on your behalf. Just stand still and see. God has now assured the Israelites that Pharaoh has met his match. We know the story, I believe, that the Egyptian army drowned in the Red Sea. So God had the Israelites back. So God is saying to the children of Israel, just follow Moses' lead and allow me to work. Just stand still. You know, whether or not we think to commit situations to God, we have a tendency to immediately try to jump in and try to fix it. We begin to make plans, ways of battles, ways to escape, and we play out scenarios in our head, how things are going to happen. We stay up all night planning and plotting, but all that is flesh. Again, it's all pride. You're not going to accomplish it. God hasn't allowed that situation to happen to help you exercise your strategic skills. He allowed that situation to happen so that you will now become a person of prayer. God is allowing it to happen to make you a faithful man, a faithful woman of God. And all you need to do is stand by and watch God work. It's okay that you don't understand what God is doing. Just stand still and see. For the Bible says, I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So while you're standing still, learn how to praise God in spite of. While you're standing still, learn how to be faithful to God. In the struggle, you will develop a passion for ministry. And I understand that I had to go through all that I went through for the purpose of ministry. How can I minister to someone else if I've never gone through anything? Lastly, Moses tells them to hold your peace. In other words, keep silent. Too many times in the midst of our struggles, we begin to complain. We go to work and we tell everybody our terrible troubles. We talk to friends about what this person is doing to us, and we talk to family members about what that person is doing to us. Have you ever stopped to consider what in the world you are doing? What good is this accomplishing? Let me answer this for you. None. Here you are, supposed to be a dedicated believer of God's word, and you're murmuring and complaining. Listen to what the Lord says in 1 Peter 3, 14 and 16. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidations, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the things in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So when you're suffering and going through your situations and your struggles, don't whine and complain, but display hope. This is what will open up opportunities for you to share the gospel with others. When they ask, what's going on with you? And they know your story. I know your husband left you with all them kids. I know your world is falling apart, but you're still whistling Dixie. You're going through a situation that would probably incapacitate most people, but you've got this hope. And they're like, what gives? How do you have hope? And I know that you're struggling. I know that you're hurting. I know that you're alone. How do you have hope?
What God?
Amen. Ponder on this. If you don't keep silent, no one will ever ask you about the hope that lies in you. In closing, don't be like the Israelites and try to hold on to the very thing that God is delivering you from. And I want you to just indulge me just one more time. Turn to your neighbor and I want you to say this. I don't know what your it is, but whatever it is, let it go.
It's over.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the word for the day. Let it go. It's over. Don't hold on to that past, that thing that's been bothering you, that thing that's been causing you pain. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word today. God, we thank you for letting us know that we should let it go. God, I pray that you would touch each and every one here, God. God, you know the individual situations, some things so hard that people can't even share with others, things that people are going through that nobody in here even knows that they're going through. God, be there for them, oh God. Lift them up. Touch them and let them know that they're not alone, but you are right there every step of the way. We thank you for this word. We give you praise. We give you glory. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen.